Now, without any further delay, I would like to turn to today's presentation and hand it over to our first presenter, Dave Stiles. Dave, you now have the floor.
Good morning. My name is Dave Stiles, and I'm a partner account manager for Microsoft on the high-performance computing team. This presentation, as you know, is being recorded. If you'd like to view it again, we will provide you with a link. If you have any questions about today's webinar in general, please forward those to me after the presentation. My contact information is on the last slide. We will also have a question and answer time after the presentation, today's presentation itself. And now I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Brian Reed, Director of Sales from Milliman MG Alpha. Brian?
Thank you very much, Dave. As Dave said, I'm the MG Alpha Sales Director for Milliman, and before I turn the presentation over to Jim Brackett, which I'll do in a moment, we wanted to simply set the stage to frame out the remarks that we'll be making today. I expect anyone participating in the webinar understands and appreciates that financial reporting requirements for insurance companies are in a significant state of flux. If we look first at the United States, we see that C3 Phase 2, effective a couple of years ago, was the first example of this major shift from rules-based deterministic calculations to model-based stochastic calculations for balance sheet items. C3 Phase 2 was only effective for variable annuities and covered required capital, but it required some very significant changes within the industry. Many companies needed to purchase new software platforms and make major investments in hardware and IT infrastructure to meet the new requirements. VA CARVM, now effective at the end of 2009, is the next phase, also applicable only to variable annuities, but in this case we're looking at statutory reserve requirements rather than required capital. C3 Phase 3 will expand the scope of C3 Phase 2 with some differences, but to cover life insurance and other annuity products, and while there is no final adoption date, industry consensus is that it will be effective at the end of next year. And principles-based reserves will round out the full picture, covering reserve requirements for life and other annuity forms, and again, there are no final dates, but again, consensus is that it'll be about 2012 or perhaps later, but consensus is that it will happen. Moving from STAT to GAAP, we see FAS 133, 157, and SOP 031 as good examples of GAAP reserve calculations that require stochastic model-based calcs rather than a deterministic rules-based calculations. And finally, leaving the U.S. and looking abroad, we see Solvency II and IFRS as the counterparts to the U.S. requirements I've just described, where the international requirements are moving to full fair value accounting, with fair value being done on a stochastic basis. So all these new requirements share the characteristic that they require model-based stochastic calculations, but that's just to do a time zero valuation to the extent that we want to do forward projections of financial results and accurately calculate these new balance sheet items, we're going to need to move to a full model-based nested stochastic approach. And this presents some very significant challenges. And so the focus of our webinar today is how Milliman tools, leveraging Microsoft HPC technology, are positioned to help our clients meet these new requirements. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jim Brackett.
Brian, thank you very much. I appreciate the introduction. That was a great introduction for everyone in the audience, I think. And I'd like to begin by just giving a little bit of background about Milliman in general and also a bit more detail about the group in which I operate. Milliman was founded more than 60 years ago and is a worldwide leader in actuarial and consulting services. Our clients include life, property and casualty, and health insurance companies, as well as companies in financial services and employee benefits. We have 2,300 employees and offices worldwide, and our consultants span areas of expertise, including medicine, economics, and software development. I'm a member of our financial risk management practice out of Chicago. That practice, FRM, is best known for helping VA writers manage the risks associated with VA guarantees. Our work implementing hedging programs has also expanded to retirement savings and investment advisory services as well. We have 75 employees organized in four areas of expertise, namely actuarial, capital markets, quantitative development, and software engineering. Since none of my peers appear to be attending today, I can assert with incontrovertible and unequivocal authority that I am the leader of the most important of these functions, which is the software development group. So with that, let's take a look at variable annuity guarantees. For those unfamiliar with a VA guarantee, it is basically an insurance product that enables policyholders to invest in the equity markets and realize some protection against losses. The slide at which you're looking with some of the alphabet soup of guarantee types, usually referred to collectively as GMXBs. For example, you can have a GMWB that entitles the investor to regular withdrawals at a point in the future against the so-called benefit balance. This benefit balance is not usually the same thing as the account value, which reflects both gains and losses as a function of market movement, but instead the balance features a ratchet that locks in gains and account value, but doesn't go down with losses. The challenge VA writers face is that a sustained downturn in the equity markets can induce considerable financial stress unless the associated risks are actively managed. That's because the insurer is on the hook for the difference between account value and benefit value. So how does a life insurer manage this risk exposure? Well, that's where we fit in. FRM offers both consultancy services and software to help manage VA guarantee risk. The idea is to manage a portfolio of hedge assets that cover what is needed to pay claims if market conditions decline. This requires understanding how the expected claims change with market conditions, seeking instruments that exhibit offsetting behavior, and actually executing those trades. As you might imagine, software is an integral part of this process. Milliman's MG Hedge System is a suite of software tools customized heavily for each VA writer and their specific products. Now, this suite consists of three parts, a liability valuation system that's used to calculate the expected claim and premium cash flows over a wide range of market conditions, a trade positioning system that we call TPS for determining what instruments should be added to the portfolio as markets move throughout each trading day, and a distributed computing layer that facilitates running the liability valuation on hundreds of CPUs every day. And distributed computing support has been a staple of MG Hedge since 2003. We offer our own out-of-the-box system called C-Squared that can run MG Hedge and other applications like MG Alpha on a cluster of Windows-based nodes. With the emergence of HPC Server, we have extended the solution to work natively with the HPC scheduler as well. This unified platform is something we call GridStep. And taking a closer look at the liability valuation system, this part of the software is responsible for projecting cash flows seriatim, that means policy by policy, given a scenario that describes returns on equity and movements in interest rates over time. And this calculation is critical to daily hedging. This is because to select the right hedge assets, one needs to know how the liability moves as a function of market conditions. MG Hedge does this by using Monte Carlo simulations of the market to calculate expected claims and premiums for each policyholder. And if we repeat this simulation over and over again with initial market conditions adjusted or shocked, we can look at the difference in cash flows to measure their sensitivity to the market factor that was shocked. Now, this requires a lot of horsepower. A typical block might have 500,000 policies, each of which is projected for 50 years using 200 Monte Carlo simulations, and then this is repeated 50 or 60 times for each shock. These numbers basically represent nested loop iterations and are multiplicative. The numbers cited here make for 250 billion iterations. Now, with hundreds of thousands of floating point operations inside each iteration, it's pretty obvious why distributed computing is important. Now, the liability calculation is critical not only for hedging, but also for generating cash flows that flow through to a company's balance sheet. The next few slides will take a closer look at specific types of financial reports that clients can create using MG Hedge. Let's start with how VA guarantees are reflected in a company's balance sheet. There are two accounting treatments based on the type of guarantee. The life contingent portion are subject to FASB Statement of Position 0301, which treats the guarantee as a policy benefit. SOP 0301 requires the calculation of reserves using at least 50 real-world stochastic scenarios generated from historical market mean and variance. Now, guarantees that do not have a life contingent portion are treated as embedded derivatives and subject to FAS 133 or 157 fair value accounting treatments. These treatments call for marking the guarantee to market if possible. However, because these guarantees are long-term and illiquid, there really is no market. Instead, the guarantee is marked to a model that uses risk-neutral stochastic scenarios. FAS 157, introduced in 07, takes into consideration the credit risk of the insurance, while its predecessor, FAS 133, does not. Now, it's worth noting that some guarantees, such as GLWB, can be carved up into life contingent and non-life contingent portions that straddle both treatments. So how can MG Hedge help? There's really not that much ground to cover when moving from nightly hedging runs to SOP and FAS. The same cash flow logic applies, and the same policy data, or at least some well-defined subset of it, applies. The only differences are what and how many stochastic scenarios are used, whether sensitivities or Greeks are needed, and what format the output should take. Since MG Hedge has an economic scenario generator built into the liability valuation code, adopting the correct scenarios is simply a matter of setting parameters. And because we're not interested in trading derivatives, we can simply turn off the shock loop that measures sensitivity and dispose with Greeks. That leaves only the output format to consider. For nightly runs and for FAS reporting, we normally output just the expected present values in claims and premiums, essentially two numbers. But for SOP, we need to show the cash flows at each time step and for each scenario. Now, although these values are not normally output, we calculate them anyway, so capturing them in the output is not a big deal. And our final adjustment between nightly and FAS or SOP is the number of scenarios. To get good Monte Carlo convergence for nightly hedging, we usually run each policy through 200 or so scenarios, depending on the size of the block. This is because the convergence really applies at the block level. So for 500,000 policies, we're running 100 million paths. But for SOP or FAS, we're calculating final input at the level of the policy. So we need to bump the scenario count up from 200 to 1,000 or 2,000 to maintain convergence. The upshot is that an SOP or FAS run is pretty similar to a nightly run, but even with the increased scenario count, the runtime is still much smaller given that no Greeks are needed. Now let's talk about an insurance company's obligation to maintain cash reserves to cover claims and to meet capital adequacy requirements. As Brian mentioned earlier, VA CARVM is the standard for calculating reserves to be implemented by the end of this year, but is part of the principles-based approach to statutory accounting. Similarly, RBC C3 Phase 2 is the principles-based standard for calculating capital requirements in the context of equity risk. In fact, VA CARVM and RBC are quite similar. Both use 1,000 stochastically generated scenarios to compute cash flows, and both look at some proportion of the worst-case scenarios, the CTE, to quantify the risk. And both include a prescribed or standard scenario that defines the minimum amount to be held in reserve. The primary differences are what the standard scenario looks like, what percentage of worst-case scenarios are considered, how taxes are treated, and at what granularity the cash flows are analyzed. All in all, to a non-actuary like me, these look like variations on the same thing. The good news is that to MG Hedge, they also look about the same. Our software handles one just as readily as the other. But there are two different ways in which the impact of a hedging program can be reflected in the cash flows, and this is where we'll start to see some interesting consequences. Let's start with what I'll call the first generation of VA CARVM and RBC solutions based on MG Hedge. In this case, we need to calculate cash flows for each policy over 1,000 scenarios. So far, that's old hat. Now we are allowed, though, to take credit for hedging program when a hedging program is in place. And the simplest way to do this is to introduce a hedge effectiveness ratio. This ratio more or less represents a single number that adjusts projected claims down as the projection is run. It works pretty much the same way reinsurance would be modeled. At each time step, the VA writer pays a premium in exchange for which subsequent claims are partially covered. The premium for a hedging program is just the expected cost needed to buy hedge assets, and the coverage or reduction in claims is based on the effectiveness of those hedges. Because of the similarities of nightly runs, we're fortunate enough to leverage the same basic cash flow logic and to use the same policy input data. In this case, like for SOP and FAS, there are no sensitivities to be measured. There's an immediate reduction in runtime. Whereas nightly runs use annual time steps, VA CARVM and RBC need quarterly. Also, the number of scenarios is 5 to 10 times larger, depending on how the hedge effectiveness ratio itself is calculated. So overall, these runs are still smaller than nightly, but we're starting to creep into larger run time. And in the next slide, we'll take it to a whole new level. The next generation of VA CARVM and RBC runs reflects the impact of hedging by actually simulating the program inside the projection. Now, this amounts to the so-called stochastic on stochastic or nested stochastic solution, something you'll hear more about from Brian as well. In this case, MG Hedge takes the current policy and adjusts its cash flows with gains and losses realized from a simulated hedging program at every time step and for each scenario. But to simulate the hedging program, we are pretty much faced with doing an entire nightly run based on that time step and scenario. Remember, I said a typical nightly run might require 250 billion loop iterations, and that's a lot of extra work to do for each of the 1,000 scenarios and at every time step. And since a hedging program can't be simulated accurately with quarterly time steps, we also move from quarterly to weekly. The upshot is that we're talking about 1.5 million simulated nightly runs for every one VA car from our RPC run. And obviously, those numbers are entirely impractical. To make a situation manageable, it's usually the case that the hedge program is simulated only using 20 or so representative cells. This still accurately measures the impact of the program, but cuts down on runtime by tens or hundreds of thousands. And also, since simulated trading is simplified and doesn't require dealing with intraday market movements, the number of sensitivities can be cut from 50 or 60 down to 5 or 6. These concessions make running the simulation feasible, but the impact on runtime is still considerable, as we'll see in the next slide. You can see here a sort of a visual depiction of the runtimes relative to nightly hedging runs, which we have here as a unit time of 1.0. Now, the gap runs check in at about 10 to 20% the size of a nightly, while the stat runs based on hedge effectiveness ratio show up at 25%. Actually, if the hedge ratio is calculated using the model, we can think of these as perhaps closer to 50%, but still much smaller. The big jump is the nested stochastic, where we see runtimes roughly 20 times the size of the nightly. So let's quickly review how financial reporting runs affect MG Hedge and the environments in which it runs. Most of the runs we discuss utilize the same software and the same input data. So there's obviously good news there. This allows for leveraging existing processes and people, and that's something we value in the context of our hedge outsourcing operation. Also, most of the runs we discussed work out to be smaller than a single nightly run, setting aside the nested stochastic. So that looks like good news for anyone worried about computing capacity. On the other hand, though, it's important to remember that nightly runs still have to take place every night. Hedging is critical to the financial health of the insurer, so displacing or disrupting nightly runs is not an option. This means the impact of financial reporting runs is additive with respect to nightly runs. However, because the financial reporting runs can be staggered and are run monthly at best, sizing the environment for nightly plus the single largest of the reporting runs is probably an acceptable approach. Of course, this kicks under the carpet issues like excess capacity failover, ad hoc analysis, hedge performance attribution, and others. The short story is that more is always better and current is almost never enough. Brian and Dave will surely emphasize this point in their talks. As described earlier, we can think of financial reporting runs as an extension of MG Hedge nightly hedging, in which case we can focus on expanding the existing production environment. Scalability is key, and costs associated with this expansion are also very important. Clients need a solution that can grow, that can make flexible use of existing resources, and that can demonstrate the fault tolerance and reliability needed for nightly hedging. MG Hedge powered by GridStep enables users to leverage Microsoft HPC to meet these challenges. And also, for users who are already using C-squared, GridStep provides an efficient migration path that entails virtually no development costs, minimizes operational risk, and allows for mixing and matching clusters and schedulers on a run-by-run basis. But you'll hear a lot more from Dave and Brian about the value of HPC and the benefits of the rebate program a little bit later on. So with that, let me hand the reins back over to Brian Reed of our MG Alpha group.
Thank you, Jim. And we will now turn from MG Hedge to MG Alpha. For those of you not familiar with MG Alpha, the quick background would be that it is Milliman's financial projection system. We support projections for life, health, and annuities, as well as a full range of asset classes. And while MG Alpha has traditionally been marketed and presented as a pricing and financial projection system, MG Alpha is Milliman's solution for financial reporting in the principles-based world. Now, moving a modeling system into the production financial reporting environment presents some key challenges. We'll talk about reporting time frame and the need for a quick close, the need for additional controls and governance, and the need for far expanded computing speed and capacity. So my part of the presentation will focus on those challenges and how MG Alpha delivers solutions to those challenges. So let's talk first about the reporting timeline. I really think that moving from the modeling world to the financial reporting world, the reporting timeline is the most significant challenge of all. I expect that a lot of people on the webinar today would agree that there are lots of insurance companies right now engaged in efforts to refresh their cash flow testing model from last year and results from that model are likely to be finalized sometime in January or February. So we are measuring the overall time of process to refresh the models, run the models, and generate the results in months with an S. As we think about financial reporting, we realize that that entire process has to occur in a few days. So if we think about the elements of the process, from model refresh to validation, the overall runtime, and then the reporting process on the back end, everything needs to be dramatically accelerated. The current ad hoc process that we have today that people are using for planning and cash flow testing is completely inadequate. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to move from the ad hoc environment to the production environment. If we look on the left-hand side of the screen, we can see that the ad hoc environment is characterized by user control and maintenance of models. In many companies, especially large ones, you see a proliferation of models across the company, and many of them would present inconsistencies across the company. The process to update the model is highly manual. Limited controls and unrestricted access to the models and the data. And an overall get-the-job-done approach, which is fine looking back historically at what models were used for, but won't be acceptable in the new environment. Looking on the right, in a production environment world, we need to have centralized control and maintenance of models. We need to have consistency across applications where planning and ALM models are consistent with valuation and financial reporting models. And we need consistency across legal entities and in larger companies, product groups. We also need to automate so many of the elements of the process to support the quick close, and we have to put controls and restricted access into the process so that the entire thing is sustainable and repeatable. In all, it's a new approach to actuarial model development and use. The good news is that MG Alpha's underlying architecture is well suited to support this migration. The simple diagram that you see on the right shows that there is a separation of the business logic, or the actuarial formulas, the underlying data to support the models, and then the core system itself. And this separation delivers a number of significant advantages. First, it facilitates the automation of the whole refresh process. It also facilitates upgrades, making it easier for clients to leverage enhancements that Milliman delivers to MG Alpha. And finally, our inheritance hierarchy structure is very well suited to support the centralized or coordinated modeling approach. And this next slide is a visual depiction of that. If you look up at the top box, you'll see a relatively typical visual depiction of models within a multi-line company, where you see four different lines of business and multiple independent models per line of business with separate models and business logic by product. While that's typical, it's not efficient, and inconsistency is one of the main concerns with that approach. Looking at the box on the bottom, you see the architecture that can be supported using MG Alpha's inheritance hierarchy structure, where you can have a total company model with a single source for business logic. You can then have separate components of the model, in this case broken apart by major lines of business, life and annuity, with business logic differences isolated to just those two major lines. And then finally, product level models within each line of business with specific business logic differences by product type. This is a much more efficient way to design and manage your models. And it also allows people who have such a design to do different types of analysis that really can't be supported with this more independent and inconsistent structure that you see above. When I think about a quick close process, I think the most significant challenge relative to where most companies are today is the process to externalize and automate the entire data refresh process. If you look at the center of the slide, you see all the different data types that are necessary to populate an actuarial model. And if you look at the three boxes on the left, they represent the major file types in MGAlpha that are the model components that come together to build an MGAlpha model. Historically, most of those file types have been refreshed on a rather manual basis. But where we need to go is, if you look at the boxes on the right, is to this production environment where the capabilities that you see listed here are being utilized to automate and externalize that refresh process. For example, using COM objects and .NET assemblies to update and refresh factor files and actuarial assumption tables, and being able to access directly administrative system feeds, or even in many companies now, data warehouses to refresh your in-force files. This is an area where I really see a lot of companies investing some significant effort in their IT infrastructure and utilizing these capabilities that are within MGAlpha today to dramatically shorten the refresh process. Assuming that that can be done and the data management process is greatly accelerated, there needs to be a process put around overall model management. So if you think about moving from one reporting cycle to the next, in between those cycles, there's a time period where assumptions can be changed and possibly changes are made to the underlying business logic. In preparation for the next reporting cycle, that model needs to be locked down and put into a production state. Regression testing against last cycle's data needs to occur, and sign-off has to happen. You can then automate the creation of a seriatim in-force file or set of files. Remember that under the new paradigm, seriatim models will be necessary to support standard scenario measures. Then through APM, or what we call Alpha Project Manager, runs can be scheduled to create modeled or compressed in-force files using cluster modeling, a new technology available from Milliman in MGAlpha. And then have sign-off on the model fit, which will go quickly and easily given the power of cluster modeling. And then through APM, you can schedule the evaluation runs, review the output, and cycle through until the entire process is signed off. If we look below the next slide, we see a visual depiction of the overall automation of actuarial workflow. And this type of high-frequency or high-visibility reporting, which is the new financial reporting paradigm, will really benefit from the automation of actuarial workflow. My final point on what we can do to support the shortening of the reporting timeline for a quick close is the reporting on the back end. MGAlpha has many different reporting capabilities, and for years we've had the ability to run an MGAlpha model and click a button and push results out to spreadsheets, and that's been very useful. But in version 7.0, we'll be leveraging pull technology such that MGAlpha models can be run in that production process that I just described. And then using our reporting COM object, we can pull results directly from an MGAlpha result database into predefined Excel workbooks. This will support both single scenario and multi-scenario reporting options. The whole thing is done through an Excel add-in, and this is what is going to be necessary to support the rapid standardized reporting that is going to be required in this production environment. And this is just a quick visual sample of one of the Excel reports. This happens to be a statutory balance sheet. If you look down below, you can see that there would be multiple reports that could all be refreshed at a single point and click after the MG Alpha model has been executed. The next challenge that I mentioned is controls and governance. So we're moving from an ad hoc process to a production process. That is going to require a full audit trail, whereas audit trails were nice to have before, they'll be an absolute necessity in the new environment. And you'll have to have the ability to document all changes to both assumptions and business logic between reporting cycles. You'll also have to be able to prove that you have restricted access to models and their underlying data, and the ability to move models in and out of a production state. So Milliman's solution, again version 7.0 with MG Alpha, delivers an entirely new security model. First, an automatic change history where we will automatically track who changed what and when for all major MG Alpha model components. We'll also support user roles, and this will all be controlled through Windows Active Directory, so we're going to be able to leverage your existing IT infrastructure, and roles can range from auditor to a basic user to a power user and finally to an administrator. And we'll also support different model states, a test state and a production state, and the administrator will be the one that controls the state using a production flag. Final challenge is just overall dramatic increase in the need for computing speed and capacity. Jim did a great job talking about the millions and billions of simulations that will be necessary in the new environment. I think many of you, I'm sure, have seen this type of evolutionary description where we think about the good old days where everything was done on a single best estimate scenario. We evolved to 7 for cash flow testing, 50 for capital calculations. We're at 1,000 now, but that 1,000 is just, again, for calculations as of evaluation date. As Jim pointed out, the ability to do financial projections into the future will require nested stochastic functionality, and if we're doing 1,000 paths annually for 30 years over 1,000 scenarios, you can see just the huge increase in the need for speed and capacity. The good news is that we've been thinking about this and working on it for many, many years. Going all the way back to 2001, we delivered our first generation of distributed computing called Run Manager. We integrated with Data Synapse in 2003. That was our first full grid solution. As Jim mentioned, we've also integrated with C Squared from Milliman back in 2005. We then stepped back and took what we learned and leveraged some of the work products from those grid integrations and revamped our own distributed computing offering and renamed it ADC in 2007. Later that year was our first integration with Microsoft using their first generation of a grid solution called Compute Cluster Server, or CCS. And finally, later in 2008, MG Alpha was the first financial services solution to integrate with Windows HPC Server 2008. And we've enjoyed a great relationship with Microsoft. This is just a very simple diagram of the integration between MG Alpha and HPC. You can see that the user would submit a job from a workstation. That job would move to a head node, which controls the distribution of work to as many compute nodes as it has available. I think what's important to note is that it's all a part of your existing Microsoft-based IT infrastructure. People ask me all the time lots of technical questions about how this integration works, and I do all I can to tell them it's really quite simple to to set up because it builds on what you already have. One of the things that I like to talk about is overall performance. I'll make the statement that there's a big difference between an application that can be grid-enabled, an application that is grid-enabled, and an application that has been grid-enabled for many years and is now optimized. And that last description fits MG-Alpha very well. Our performance is nearly linear with efficient distribution. And what I mean by that is that we can distribute work either by scenario or, in some models, by model point. So if we think about scenario distribution first, if you were trying to run a model with 100 scenarios and you had 10 compute nodes, so you sent 10 scenarios to each node, your overall performance would be about very close to one-tenth of the runtime if you ran it on a standalone single compute node. Very, very linear. Little bit of overhead, but quite parallel. Now, if you had 7 scenarios and you were distributing over 5 compute nodes, that wouldn't be that efficient because 2 nodes would obviously have to process 2 scenarios, so you'd end up with about 2/7 of the standalone runtime. But that just gets to overall distribution efficiency, still linear in its nature. For MG-Alpha models that don't require dynamic ALM integration in each projection cycle, we can also distribute by model point. Very easy to control and also linear in its nature. As an example, if you had 1 million model points and you were trying to run a single scenario and you had 100 compute nodes available, you could send 10,000 model points to each node and your runtime would be approximately 1/100th of that standalone runtime. I think this is a very important point for those of you who are starting to think about HPC solutions or who are using competing software. This overall efficiency and optimization in a grid environment is a huge benefit of MG-Alpha and our integration with Microsoft HPC. So I'd close and summarize by saying that Milliman and MG-Alpha are well positioned to meet our clients' needs for financial reporting. We'll continue to leverage Microsoft HPC so clients can leverage advances in hardware and grid technology. Our current features and tools and version 7.0 features and tools, including our move to the full .NET platform, give companies the capabilities they need to migrate their models from that ad hoc environment to the production environment. And as we go forward and these years pass and the requirements evolve, Milliman is committed to continued development as the overall actuarial workflow and collaboration necessary to support a full enterprise-wide end-to-end modeling process becomes our reality. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Dave Dorfman.
Thank you, Brian. I really want to thank Brian and Jim for what I felt was an extremely content-rich set of presentations. I attend a lot of webinars, and I just think this one was full of value and addressed real-world issues for business managers. Now, in our modern society, I think whenever we see content, there's always an assumption there might be some advertising behind it. And please don't think of me as the advertising. I'd rather you think of me as a representative of Microsoft, as the person who's responsible for making sure that all the plumbing, the underlying infrastructure and computing resources come together. And hopefully this will go from being an intriguing challenge to a very mundane and routine problem. So as a solution specialist in high-performance computing for Microsoft, I work with financial services companies in the Midwest and the Western U.S., and I have a colleague by the name of Neil Cowett who works with financial services companies in the Eastern United States. And what I'd like to do is explain how Windows HPC Server is used in MG-Alpha and MG-Hedge. I think Jim and Brian did a pretty good job of describing it, but I just want to reiterate that really what we want to do is assure integration of these applications with all your existing Microsoft infrastructure. We want the actuaries to use the same credentials to access these applications as they use to access print and file services and SharePoint and other applications. We're clearly aligned with reducing the cost of implementation of mass compute clusters. I can tell you anecdotally that we have gone into meetings with customers considering implementing a computational grid, and in half an hour we can explain to them how to reduce their expected cost of implementation by literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. Windows HPC Server is the underlying tool for MD Hedge in one implementation, in MG Alpha, to take your calculations and spread them across anywhere from 5 to 500 systems, reducing time to solution. Now, before the arrival of Microsoft in the high-performance computing world, there were many tools that each had its own implementation to allow distributed computing. One of the benefits of Microsoft's engagement in this market is that in addition to the fine products from Milliman, there are a number of other tools that are also integrated on the platform. And I think I've found that every one of my customers uses a variety of suppliers for intellectual property and modeling. And the ability to have a single computational grid to handle all your computational requirements is something that becomes possible with Windows HPC Server. In itself, Windows HPC Server, really has four basic value propositions. Number one is security. It's fully integrated with the Windows security model. And it's really gratifying to see integration with other tools such as SharePoint, which allow versioning and strict control over access to data and results. It is cost effective. And I'll get into that in a little bit more detail on the next slide. It's as easy to manage as any other version of Windows Server. In fact, Windows HPC Server 2008 is Windows Server 2008 with support for larger physical memory and with an end-user license agreement that asks you to restrict its use to computational modeling. And then most importantly, we want to always leverage other Windows solutions. So as an example, when we wanted to incorporate a highly available head node, we integrated SQL clustering for the piece of software that we use to make sure jobs that are submitted to the cluster complete and return results to the user. In the future, you'll see greater integration with Excel. So many of these modeling tools produce very large spreadsheets that in their own right may run for long periods of time. And I encourage you to call upon me to help you understand how we can reduce runtime for these other models that are created within Excel. Now, I mentioned how we're more cost-effective. I think I'd like to explain that a little further and break out some of these fine live meeting annotation tools. So in the traditional Microsoft model, for example, Active Directory, or Exchange, or print and file services, you'll see literally hundreds of users interacting with a single server. And that's great. We've been very successful, and our customers seem very happy with the product and the value inherent in the product. But in the HPC model, that is all flipped upside down. Right? So what you see is one actuary who might be interacting with hundreds of servers simultaneously. Really, this requires a totally different pricing model to provide equity and value. And that's why Windows HPC Server Operating System is in itself one-half to one-twelfth the cost of other Microsoft Server Operating Systems. Now, those of you who know me know I'm a pretty irreverent person, and I poke fun at myself a lot. And sometimes what I say is I'm probably the world's worst salesperson because the industry really does run on Windows. And if you do want to run actuarial modeling, you need a Windows operating system to get it done. So I'm really trying to find people who already need a product, already must have that product, and then try to convince them to obtain the product from a half to a tenth of what they already were willing to pay. You would think that would be enough, but what we'd like to do is make this even easier for you. So we've started a program in combination with Milliman that supports both MG-Alpha and MG-Hedge to rebate back to the customer either as a check back to your company or as a payment for services to Milliman anywhere between 30 and 50% of the purchase price for HPC server that you spend to support MG-Alpha or MG-Hedge. Now, to get all your questions answered about this program, I encourage you to check the site or reach out to me, and I'll answer all your questions. But we think this really is something that should be considered as a tactical move to lower your cost of operations implementation in the near term. Now, one thing I should tell you is that the program only runs for 6 months, and it did start on September 1st. So if you're considering implementing an HPC cluster, and you will be acquiring licenses for HPC from Microsoft, you may want to act in the near term. Another thing that we've done to make it easier for you to implement and train your IT team is a training voucher program. So when you purchase Windows HPC server and you pursue it with software assurance, which I think is an excellent idea because both MG-Hedge and MG-Alpha continue to iterate towards a better solution and build on new versions of Windows HPC server, you will receive training credits. And you can use these credits for HPC training or to train your team on underlying technologies such as Windows Server 2008 or Visual Studio. And this just is a quick rundown on what you would get, but really for as few as 16 server licenses, you get two training vouchers, and I really don't want to emphasize this too much, but it almost neutralizes the cost of Windows operating system to near nothing. So. The last thing we're doing to make it easier for you to implement Windows HPC under these applications is as each Microsoft product reaches full maturity in the market, you find a certification program for Microsoft certified professionals. And starting in the January-February timeframe, you'll actually see a certification program for both developers and IT pros on Windows HPC. So that's about all. If you have any questions, please reach out to me. What I'd like to do now is to hand our program back to our moderator, Dave Stiles, and Dave will take it from here.
Thank you. We do have a few questions, so let me go ahead and we still have a few minutes, so let me go ahead and ask those now. The first one is for Brian, and there's a follow-up as well. When will the version 7.0 be released?
By the end of 2009.
And will Milliman be migrating MG-Alpha to a 64-bit application?
Not at this time. We run in 64-bit environments, so hardware and operating systems, but because we manage memory so well, we've found that we've been able to deliver the speed and the capacity that we need in a 32-bit environment. When we see that our clients are primarily migrated to a full 64-bit infrastructure, and we've already done the research to understand what it takes, it's not a major effort, and we will move MG-Alpha to a full 64-bit application. The good news is it's not a necessary step at this point, so we don't need to maintain two versions or force our clients to spend a lot on hardware and operating systems because it's a requirement of ours. We simply do well in today's world.
If I could add on to Brian's answer there, now MG-Alpha does run in the 64-bit environment in combination with other 64-bit applications very smoothly. And to the advantage of our customers, this efficiency of memory usage makes it much easier for the customer to take advantage of high core counts on new hardware products that are being offered by Hewlett-Packard, Dell, or IBM. So there are, you know, there's more than one advantage to this.
Okay, another question. Are there performance differences between MG-Alpha ADC and HPC server?
It's not as much of a performance difference as it is just the physical structure of how the work is distributed and what is necessary. For example, using ADC, you need to have the application installed on the compute nodes, and all of those compute nodes need to be put into, an engine state. They also need to be on the same versions. But assuming efficient distribution and all other things being constant, such as network speed and so forth, there is not a significant difference.
Okay. Another question. Are there any plans to support GPGPU hardware such as NVIDIA's Tesla or the CUDA platform?
This is David. I can take that question. If I can differentiate Windows HPC server from the application, we do have plans, and there are general plans within Microsoft to support GPGPUs in a general purpose manner. So I would encourage whoever asked that question to reach out to me for more detail and an introduction to members of our development team interested in that issue.
Yeah, I can add to that from the MG Edge side, but that's an active area of research for us, and we're looking forward to exploring that a bit further and collaborating with Dave and our Microsoft counterparts on that. But it's definitely an area that we have continued and sustained interest in.
Here's a couple of questions for you, Jim. Can you describe what measures you use for in-force compression when running nested stochastic projections with MG Hedge?
Yeah, sure. I think the primary variables that are used there, and again, we're talking about reducing these in-force files from entries of maybe 100,000 or a million, or in fact, in some cases, with the introduction of cohorts, we're looking at in-force files that have essentially synthetic or blended assumptions about individual policyholders. Those can actually go up by yet another multiple of 2 or 3. So we're looking for something that's going to provide a huge amount of compression. So selecting the variables tend to preserve the integrity of that model block effectively is quite important. And looking at what our actuaries and quantitative developers have come back with, I think in the moneyness, meaning the difference between the benefit value and the account value, the benefit type itself, so we have blocks that have mixed guarantee types, and then the age banding of the policyholders are probably the three most critical variables that we use to model our enforced compressive.
Okay, there's another question here. I'm just need to slide over the question bar so I can read the whole thing. Have the operational support tools available with Microsoft HPC Server evolved to the point where actuarial staff could manage most of the day-to-day performance and computing issues, or would dedicated technology staff support be advisable?
Well, this is one of those classic it depends scenarios. Let me try a few ways of explaining this. First of all, degree of integration between MG Alpha, MG Hedge, and Windows HPC. So from the perspective of the actuary launching a job, don't really need to see the Windows HPC management interface to get their work done. Now, that may not be really what the question was. Then it really comes down to an issue of how hands-on the actuarial staff are. So I have a variety of customers, and in one case, there's an actuary just kind of runs the cluster completely independent of the IT organization. And in other cases, the IT organization likes to run the cluster. So it's really, and it depends on policy, on control, and on, sometimes, frankly, the actuaries do like to have a really tight rein on the resource. And there is a natural tension that goes back and forth between the IT team and the actuarial team about, who sets policy and who determines control of the cluster. And just tell us what you want to do, and we'll help you make that work.
So, Jay, if that didn't fully answer your question, feel free to ask a follow-up or get back in touch with Dave at another time. And I think I have one last one here, unless anyone else jumps in. How are, this would be for Jim, how are runs distributed on MG Hedge do you divide by policy or by scenario?
Yeah, that's a good question. Our software is quite flexible about how that's done, so we actually support really distribution by either. As a matter of sort of natural breakdown, and sort of what I mean by that is looking at the ways to maximize the granularity of the distribution. I mean, if you've got a dimension of your problem that can only be carved up into four or five chunks, clearly that's not a very good candidate for distribution on the grid. But looking at reasonably sized in-force and looking at runs that have hundreds or thousands of scenarios, we usually see that for nightly runs, the gap runs I mentioned, that the SOP and FAS, that we divide those by policy. And essentially that's because we have millions of policies or more potentially to be distributed out on the grid. When we look at the RBC and VA carbon, the implementations that use the hedge effectiveness ratio, in those cases it's a more natural distribution to look at dividing those out by the thousand scenarios, and that affords some opportunities to do some more efficient aggregation of results. When we look at the nested stochastic, that's actually considerably more complicated. We actually run those essentially in two passes. So the inner loop, the part that's doing the projection of the compressed in-force over each of the outer scenarios and time steps, we can actually set that up as a single run, and we take the policies or the sell points that we have in our model and actually project those out over the outer scenarios. And that leads to essentially a synthetic in-force file. It leads to a listing of policies in various states at various times across various scenarios. And so we effectively just distribute that out to our grid as a by-policy distribution. The results of that are come back, and then we feed those cash flows that we've obtained from the nested loop back into the outer loop. We would go and return to an outer scenario distribution like we would for traditional RBC or VA carbon with hedge effectiveness ratio. So if that was a little too much for anybody to consume out there, I'm certainly happy to answer those questions after the presentation as well.
Jim, I followed that completely, and I'm going to have some suggestions for how you might be able to improve that later.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate the fifth or sixth time you've tried to tried to pass those along. I'll listen this time.
All right.
Thank you.
We do have another couple of questions. I think we have just enough time to get through these for Brian. Can MG Alpha 6.7 interface be made non-interactive? Currently, when we use MG Alpha, the GUI interface needs to be connected to the network, which creates an issue in case connection is lost. This result is it the entire workload, the work on the grid has been lost and needs to be reset. Is this resolved in Microsoft HPC?
No, it is not. Not yet. We understand that limitation. We refer to the capability to be able to have that disconnection as something we call submit and go, and we have not yet been able to deliver that functionality.
Okay. And one final quick question, what version of HPC do you expect to implement lending, borrowing of engines and dynamic reallocation of engines for more comprehensive grid management?
And I think we'll be seeing that in version 3 of HPC server.
Okay, which will be announced very
soon. We're actually making beta available with partial functionality at Supercomputing 09 next week in Portland, Oregon. And I think our target for release is late summer of 2010.
So that's all the time we have for questions. I want to thank everyone who participated, and especially thank Brian and Jim and Dave Dorfman for participating in this presentation. Thank you very much, and we look forward to any follow-up questions you may have. Our contact information is on the last slide, and these slides can be made available to you via PDF. Thank you very much.